me read for you just that one little verse again. The Colston read a while ago. I want you to listen carefully. I want to speak this morning on the subject, what to do till the shadows flee. What to do till the shadows flee. Listen to this. Until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. Okay? Now here's my sermon. What are you supposed to do? That's what it says. I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Now, until the shadows flee away and until the daybreak, what are you going to do? I'm going to go to the mountain of myrrh and I'm going to go to the hill of frankincense. There's a real, wonderful, sweet, blessed truth there we're going to explore. Father, teach us this morning what you have for us. All of us come to the time in life when the shadows are often and many. And here's the instructions. Here's what we're supposed to do. Till the daybreak, till the shadow flee away, I will come to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. Help us today. Amen. Number one, the shadows will come. The shadows will come. They may not have come yet, but they're on the way. Your shadow time is coming. The shadows will come. You've heard me say this so many times. Never a graduation class of Hammond Baptist High School sits right here. But what I do not look at them and hurt. Because I know the shadows are on the way. Life is so uncomplicated during those years of school. And all of a sudden, school is over. Then comes marriage. Maybe an unhappy marriage. Maybe a troubled marriage. And then comes children. Maybe a sick child. Maybe a stillborn child. Maybe an invalid child, a crippled child. I do not know what your shadows are going to be, but I know they're coming. That's one reason why teenagers ought to listen when they're in church. Because you need to be fortified. It's just a few days till your shadows are going to come. I say the shadows will come. It doesn't say here, if the shadows come, then what will I do when they flee away? No, it says until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. It's taking it for granted the shadows are going to come. Now listen to me. It may be that everything is sunshine. It may be that every day is noontime. It may be that every day is a mountaintop experience for you. But now you listen. Your shadows are going to come. I mean, the day is going to come when a call is going to come to you at work and you're going to find out something terrible has happened. It's going to come. It's going to come. Somebody's going to break your heart. Something is going to break your heart. You're going to lose a job that you've had for years. All of a sudden, the doctor's going to say the tests were negative. I'm sorry, were positive. And you've got some problems. The doctor's going to say, we don't know if it's malignant or not. It's going to come. Shadows will come. So you'd better listen. The Bible tells us here what to do until the shadows flee away. Shadows are going to come. Number two, they will flee away. It doesn't say here what to do if the shadows flee away. It says until the daybreak and the shadows flee away. The shadows are going to flee away. I love that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the 23rd Psalm says. Didn't say, yea, though I walk into the valley. There's no valley that God allows His people to enter but what God allows His people to exit. God never takes you to a valley. God takes you through a valley. So He says, He said that the shadows will flee away. Just as sure as the heartache is going to come, the heartache is going to leave. Just as sure as the burden is on its way, the burden is not to stay. So, shadows will come. You servicemen back there, life is in front of you. And it looks like everything is top now, but the shadows are going to come. It may be that every child you have is healthy now, but they're going to come. They're just going to come. I'll guarantee you, there is 90% of the people in this room who are 25 years of age or older have already had or have now a shadow. They're going to come. But thank God, they're not here to stay. One of the greatest statements in the Bible is, it came to pass. It didn't come to stay. It came to pass. The burden is going to leave. Now then, if the burden is going to come, and if the burden is going to leave, then my big attention should be centered on while the burden's here. If the shadow is coming, and if the shadow is going to flee away, then my big attention is, what should I do while it's here? Well, the writer said, go up to a mountain. Go to the mountaintop. Don't stay in the valley. You know, the great things that happen in the Bible happen on the mountain. Moses didn't get the Ten Commandments in the Valley of Sinai. Jesus didn't preach the sermon on the valley. Nor did he pray in the Valley of Olives. Nor did Abraham take Isaac to Valley Moriah. Nor did the transfiguration take place in Valley Tabor. I'm saying the best thing in the world. Every great thing. Now, in the Bible, the Valley of Megiddo. That's where the Battle of Armageddon be fought. Valleys are battles. Valleys have shadows. But what's the first thing that the writer said here? The shadows are going to come. The shadows are going to flee away. What shall I do while they're here? First, get above them. Go up the mountain. Have a regular place. What did he say? He said, I go to the mountain of myrrh. Or I go to the hill of frankincense. There are two little places where the writer said, when the shadows are here, that's where I go. You have a place where you go when the shadows come. You have a certain place where you meet God when the shadows come. Is there a certain spot above the battle, above the burden, above the shadows, above the clouds, where you go? The writer said, have a regular place, go up on the mountain, on the hill, get above it all, get alone, don't talk about it much, and think, here's the message. Mountain of myrrh. What's myrrh? Perfume. Hill of frankincense. What frankincense? Perfume. The wise men brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Jesus. What's he saying? While the stink's going on down in the valley, get up there where it smells good. That's exactly what he's saying. I go to the mountain of myrrh. I go where the fragrance is wonderful. I go up there on that mountain of perfume. Now what do? While the shadows are here, we pick up the telephone, call, and talk about it. What a friend we have in the telephone. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to the telephone in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to the telephone. In prayer, that's what you do. Go to the telephone, call somebody. Let's talk about our problem. Now what the author said here. So I go alone above it. Don't talk about it. Don't want to think about it. Don't want to smell its odor. I want to get above the shadows. Get above the clouds. I want to go hold of that little mountain of myrrh where everything smells good. That little hill of frankincense where everything smells. What do? We go to the restaurant. Let's go out to eat and talk about it. And we talk and we talk and we dig deeper and dig deeper and dig deeper. And there's not a person in this room, but what, when something bad happens to you, you want to go to the telephone and talk about it and talk, and you dig deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and you feel worse when you got through talking than you did when you started talking. Jerk the telephone off the wall. Get up alone. Get above the clouds. Get above the mountains. Get up there where you can meet God in the valley or a mountain of myrrh. Get out of the valley. Get out under the clouds. Get above the clouds. But how do you feel today? Well, I feel pretty good under the circumstances. Get on top of them. You ain't got no business living under the circumstances. Live above the circumstances. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Get out of your valley. Quit your whining. Quit your complaining. Quit your talking about it. Get up there in a mountain of myrrh and a hill of frankincense and smell the sweet fragrance and smell the sweet aroma and talk to God and get alone and quit talking to people about all your problems. We just stay in the valley. Call Valley 397-264. Talk to somebody else who's in the valley. Told my class this morning the old classic story. You've heard it. You've told it. Guy was going to jump off the bridge, the river, commit suicide. Fellow walked up and said, "Hey, don't do it." He said, "I said, nothing to live for. Nothing to live for. I'm going in at all." "Oh," he said, "yes, you got a lot to live for." "What?" He said, "Give me 5 minutes. I'll talk to you. And if I can't talk you out of it in 5 minutes, you can go ahead and jump." They talked 10 minutes and both jumped. That's the way we are. We just dig deeper and deeper and deeper. Quit talking about it. And quit whining about it. Rise above the problems and rise. They're going to flee away. Why do you want to spend your time talking about stuff not here to stay? Joy will never leave. Talk about joy. Heaven will never leave. Talk about heaven. Jesus will never die. Talk about Jesus. God's grace will always be there. Talk about God's grace. Why talk about some little shadow? A shadow. In the first place, a shadow is nothing concrete. Shadow is only a reflection. Shadow never hurt anybody. You ever get hit by a shadow? Man. Man, that shadow packs a wallet. Shadows are going to come, but the shadows are going to flee. Don't spend your time talking about stuff just here for a while. You know what you'll do? You'll get so used to talking about shadows, you'll be disappointed and leave. You won't have anybody to sympathize with you if you don't have a shadow. You can't have your pity party. You won't have anything to be pitied about. You won't enjoy your pity party. When the shadows come, they're not there to stay. They will come, but they're not there to stay. The inspired writer said, until the day break, the day will break. You think it won't, but it will. You think the night will never end, but it will. You think the burden will never be lifted, but it will. You think the problem will never be solved, but it will. And you look back one day on these times of shadows and problems and burdens, and you'll say, "Why did we let it break us?" Listen, what you're going to do is destroy yourself on the shadows here so you won't have any strength or wherewithal to enjoy it when the shadows are gone. You won't have no strength to shout when the shadows flee. Just get up there on that mountain and stay up there on that mountain until the shadows leave. Look down and watch the clouds. When the clouds blow away, go back down there. Cloud blows up, go up on top of the mountain again. Till the day breaks and the shadow flees away. I'm going to go to the mountain of myrrh. The hill of frankincense. You just stay in the valley and wallow. Seek sympathy from one, then another. Call one and talk on the telephone, then call another and talk on the telephone, then call another and talk on the telephone. You dig deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Let me tell you something. There's a mountain of myrrh up there. Go up there and enjoy the fragrance of it. God's waiting on you at the hill of frankincense. God is there waiting on you at the... See, you get yourself out of the valley and go on up on the top of that mountain, top of that hill. I know what I'm talking about. I've been preaching a long time. And I didn't know all the stuff I know now when I started out. I've not always been this brilliant. But I didn't know. Well, I can recall one day some old gal. I used to have a fictitious character in my church. What was her name? Forgotten. But anyway, I got a letter one day. I was a kid preacher. You never saw such a letter in your life. And my soul accused me of being everything but decent. And way back yonder in Texas, and my soul. So what did I do? I took that letter with me. And I said, folks, the Lord is heavy today. I want to share my burden with you. I read the letter. What did I do? Pull a whole congregation down in the shadows. I got a lot of sympathy. They gathered around me after service. Oh, preacher, we're for you. We're for you. We're for you. Oh, God bless you. How do you bear all your burdens? And my old ego just soaked it up. Come on, a little more, a little more, a little more, a little more. I didn't hear that. Say it again. Oh, preacher, you're wonderful and we're for you. You're wonderful and we're for you. Thank you. Next. Yeah. Oh, preacher, we love you. Oh, you got birth. Okay. Next. And you know what I did? I dug myself deeper and deeper and deeper, and one day it dawned on me, I'm not supposed to pull my folks down in the valley. I'm supposed to lift my folks out of the valley up on the mountain. My job's not to come in here and whine because I got troubles, though I do. Let me tell you a few of them. But that's not my job. For 29 years today, I came as pastor of this church. And for 29 years, it's not been my job to walk in the pulpit and use you as a psychologist or a psychiatrist or a counselor or somebody to sympathize with me. It's my job to spend my week up on the top of the mountain of myrrh where the sweet-smelling aroma from God comes and come back on Sunday and say, folks, there's a hill above the clouds. There's a hill above the shadows. There's a hill above the valley. Come on up here where I've been all week long. That's my job. That's what I'm here for. I've tried it all. I know. I've been. Listen, you're not looking at a fellow that was born one day saying, this is what you're supposed to do. Nobody told me what I was supposed to do. I found out what I wasn't supposed to do. I was like the black preachers praying and said, oh, God, give me the unction. Give me the unction. Give me the unction. Oh, God, give me the unction. Another black preacher walked up and said, what is the unction? He said, I don't know what it is, but I know what it ain't. And I just learned what it ain't. I learned the best thing to do is not take it to the church. Pull them down. I used to take my shadows and take it home to the family. Pull them down. I used to take my shadows, take it to the staff, and pull them down. Or call a preacher friend and pull him down. You know what I'm talking about. If I'm not happy, I don't want anybody happy. I remember one time we had these denominational problems with the Southern Baptist Convention back 90 years ago, and they told me I could support their dirty schools or they'd vote me out. And I said, I won't give a red penny to your dirty schools. I won't support one penny for a school. School doesn't believe that book. Not one penny. I won't support, give one penny to school drinks on campus. And I won't, no way I'll do it. You put me on a gallows if you want to. Put me in the electric chair. But I won't give a dime to a school that denies my Lord. I won't do it. So they did what they said they were going to do. And I'm not going to go back. So they take back what they said. They said, get out. They take it back. I'm not going to go back. But I was a young man. I wanted some sympathy. I called my assistant pastor, Jim Lyons. Dorothy answered the phone. I said, Dorothy, I want to talk to Jim. I got a burden. You know, like you do. Blessed telephone. Precious telephone. Nearer my telephone to thee. Nearer to thee. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will give you another comforter, even the telephone of truth.
Sit still, women.
I called Brother Jim Lyons. I said, Dorothy answered the phone. And I said, where's Jim? She said, he's playing golf. I said, he's playing what? Did he know we got voted out of the convention? Yes.
What's he doing playing golf?
I got in my car, drove 10 miles to the golf course. I didn't know what hole he was on. I got on that golf course, went to every hole on that course. But I found Jim Lyons. I grabbed him with the shoulders. I said, what in the world are you doing, man? Get back in here and let me tell you my problems. Nobody's going to play golf while I'm going through troubles. Of course, the way he played golf, he was going through more troubles than I was. I've been through it all, folks. I've been through all of it. And I know that the thing to do when you're in the shadows is not to grab the telephone and call somebody and say, did you hear? Let me tell you. That's not the answer. The answer is not to call some friend and take that friend to the valley. The answer is not to take somebody out to eat. That's what we used to do. Over the restaurant, tell them all your troubles while you eat. No wonder we got ulcers. Eat an enchilada while you're grinding. I've been through it all. I know what I'm talking about. I learned taking my problems to the church was not the answer. I learned that, listen, you didn't get up this morning and get dressed, take a bath. Well, get dressed. And get dressed, take a bath. Come to church and sit here and from me walk up and say, the load is heavy. And you go home and you say, I don't feel good. Well, I want you to walk out of here this morning and every other morning. I want you to walk out of here and say, bless God, I found a new mountain today. It's called a mountain of myrrh. I found a new hill. It's called a hill of frankincense. I found a hill where nobody spreads any stink. I found a hill where the garbage is never spread and the scavengers never come and the manure is never spread. I found a hill where the myrrh and the frankincense are there and all it smells good. I found a hill. I not only found that, but I found that God was there when I got to that hill. That's why it smelled good. What do you do to the shadows, please? Shadows are going to come. No way to stop them. They're going to come. Bless God, they're going to leave. All you got to, you know, the shadows will not be there most of the time. All you got to do is figure out some way, hear me now, to get through those shadows without ruining your chances of enjoying life when the shadows are over. But you'll make some stupid decision while you're in the shadows that will affect the rest of your life when the shadows are gone. Don't make a decision while you're in the shadows. Don't decide while you're in the shadows to move. Don't decide while you're in the shadows to change. In the mountain of myrrh, hill of frankincense. Smell the aroma of fellowship with God and just stay there till the shadows are gone. And wait till the shadows leave to make your decisions. Wait till the shadows leave before you decide what you're going to do. Decide to make a change. Wait till they leave. Forgive this personal statement, comment or two. And I will not belabor it at all. But 6 weeks ago, last Friday night, all night long, I wondered if I'd ever preach again. I haven't said that. I'm not going to say it, but just this one time, and if I ever say it again, it'll be in one quick sentence, and it'll all be over. But 6 weeks ago, this Friday night, I spent the whole night wondering if I'd ever preach another sermon. Now, folks, I could hang down there in the valley. I could have hung down there in the valley. I could have said, will it happen again or not? I could dwell on the subject of what if it happens while I'm walking through the airport someday. I could dwell on that. I walked in here that next Sunday morning. And you looked to watch the dead man who had risen from the grave, watch Lazarus come down the aisle there, or come in there. I said, folks, we found what it was. It was sickle cell anemia and AIDS. And you inside went, Brother Hiles is Brother Hiles. That's what you said. Yeah, everything's okay again. Yeah. Why? Because I'm not going to wallow in the valley. No way. No way. I'm not going to wallow in the shadows. Shadows never hurt anybody. I'm not going to wallow in the shadows. I get up on the mountain of Myrrh. I get up on the mountain of Myrrh before sunup that Saturday morning. By the time I got on the airplane Saturday morning, I was on the hill of frankincense. I was thinking how good God had been to me. You know what I said? For three hours, I had a little problem. I was mentally exhausted. I had a little problem. The doctors think probably it was the fact that my sugar level was low. It was low. I keep telling you I ought to eat more of those Reese's peanut butter cups, but you won't believe me. But I'd only had four for breakfast that morning, and my sugar count was down a little bit. And doctors think it was a touch of, hypoglycemia. And that's what they think. I know better, but that's what they think. But anyway, I know what happened. My mind said to my body, if you won't take some time off, I'm going to. You go ahead and work if you want to, but I'm going to go to sleep. But I'm not going to live. That's why I joke about it. I'm not going to live in the valley under the shadows. No way. I've got a mountain I can go to. You think I'm going to smell the manure of the valley when I got a mountain of myrrh right up there? You think I'm going to gripe the men when I can go up and fellowship with God? No way, Jose, no way. I got a hill of frankincense where I can ascend and where I can smell sweet aromas. What I do? When the shadows come, I start thinking about the sweet things. That's what the writer is saying here. When the shadows are here, until they flee away, think about sweet things. That's all. That's what he's saying. Think about sweet things. My mama was dying. I thought about how good heaven was. Yeah. I'd sit beside her. She'd lay in the bed. We'd sing together. I've heard of a place that's called heaven, sweet home of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. And we'd sing together in the room about heaven. I'd read the Bible about heaven. We'd sing, oh, they tell me of a home far beyond the sky. Oh, they tell me of a home far away. Oh, they tell me of a home where no storm clouds rise. Oh, they tell me of an unclouded day. Oh, the land of the clouds. Mama's dying. There's no way to act while you're dying. You're supposed to be in a valley. Mama and I decided to go up on that hill of myrrh. Yeah, we decided to go up on the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. Why? There's something sweet about death. It's the vestibule to heaven. You'll have to whine. Get out of your pity party. Cancel your pity machine. Get up on the top side. Get up there on the mountain of myrrh. And the sweetness is, and rejoice in the aroma of God's grace and God's goodness and God's mercy and God's love. How's what you do when you lose a friend? I never lost a friend. Never lost a friend. You've never lost a friend, nor you have me there. No, friend loveth at all times. You haven't lost a friend. No. What do you do when you lose a friend? Well, I don't sit there and mope about the one I lost. I start thinking about the ones that still got. What's wrong with you? I tell you what's wrong. You're an idiot. That's what's wrong with you. What's wrong with you? You've probably got 1,000 friends. You're in this church, you got more than that. But if you only have 100 friends, so you lose one. So what do? You whine. Oh, my God. First place you didn't lose a friend, you found out you never had a friend. Why don't you stop and realize the dear, sweet... Wouldn't it be something? Now, in a church like this, people leave the church and go to the churches. We get more people from other churches than leave. And our acceptance of new members from churches in the area is bigger than the church, the folks that leave. But I'm saying, it's going to happen. But what if I walked up here every Sunday, and oh, my soul, oh, old Jacob E. McFuddle, he and his wife, they joined the First Greek Lutheran Catholic Presbyterian Church. Not me, Buster. I sit right there and look out and look at all the people here that love me and that I love and that are still here, and I say, well, blessed be God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at all the friends I've got. I can count three right here in this room. None back here. I'll let it go. Don't you see what I'm saying? You stay down there in the valley beneath the shadows and whine because somebody is upset with you, and you could go up on a mountain of myrrh and rejoice because there are thousands not upset with you. I understand it. A man said to me not long ago, who was in the valley of shadows, he said, my wife and I have been through it. Listen, he said,
my wife and I have been through it.
I said, glory to God.
He said, what are you glory to God about?
I said, you're through it.
We've really been through it. Well, praise the Lord, you're through it.
Don't be shouting instead of whining. He looked at me. He said, through it all, I discovered my children. I'd lost the awareness of my children. And he said, through all of it, I discovered my children. That's what it is. You may have lost your job and every dime that you have, but bless God, that little 3-year-old girl that pats you on the cheek and says, I love you, Daddy, she still is there. Get up on the mountain of myrrh. You've got more sweet things to rejoice about than you have sour things not to rejoice about. 29 years ago, today, I walked in this pulpit for the first time as pastor of this church. There's no way in the world to describe, and that's why the choir sang it, the song Blessed Assurance. And I know Brother Ray and Elaine and the choir know how sweet and thoughtful they are, and that's why they sang my favorite song this morning, because they have not forgotten. But 29 years ago today, a homesick, heartsick, southern drawl preacher came to this pulpit. Many a shadow has come in these 29 years. But every one has flown away. And the shadows that are here now, they will flee. Now, what am I supposed to do until they flee? I'm supposed to go during the week up to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. Come back down to the valley and say to you who are here, come, let me show you what I found. I say it often, but I'll never forget it. The old man, 88 years of age, that died in St. Margaret's Hospital 15 years ago. I didn't know him well. He was not one of the inner circle members of the church, but he came every Sunday morning and every Sunday night. I went to see him, and he was dying. And he took his hands and put them around mine, put his hands like that. I put mine here, and he put his hands around mine. He looked up and he said, thank you for walking with God 6 days a week and coming to us on Sunday and telling us what God said. That's my job. I could not lead you to the mountain this morning if I'd been in the valley all week. Please forgive me for saying it, but I've been up in the mountain of myrrh. I live there. I've been up in the hill of frankincense. You say, you have any shadows? Of course I do. I could throw a pity party this afternoon, and I could really stir up a party. Well, I'm not going to. First place, you wouldn't come, because you've got your own pity party you're having this afternoon. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to go to the mountain of myrrh. Nor have I, in these 29 years, come to you with my burdens. You've never heard me do that. No, sir. I've reminded you we all have them. But in these 29 years, I've not walked in this pulpit to give you my burdens or unload my burdens on you. I've walked in this pulpit to help you bear yours and to tell you of a wonderful place that I found above the clouds, above the shadows. It's called the Mountain of Myrrh and the Hill of Frankincense. Until the shadows flee away, that's where the divine inspired writer said that he went. When I think of the trials of these 29 years, I never think negatively. Well, I could. I've shed a heap of tears. And I didn't get looking like this because I went to the beauty shop and said I won't look like this. What's your excuse? I didn't walk in and see a guy that looked like this advertised there at the beauty shop and said, that's what I want to look like. I saw a guy there and I said, how long has he been dead? You know what I think about so often? I think about those who've stuck it out through these years. For 29 years, they stayed with the preacher and stayed with the stuff. And the old church downtown just keeps on going. I'd like for this, just a moment, I'd like for all the people who are members of this church 29 years ago today when I walked in the first time as a 32-year-old kid preacher. I'd like for you to stand, please, if you would. All of you who are members of this church 29 years ago, that's the crowd I think about so often when I see the shadows. And I want to thank each of you for these years of loyalty and faithfulness and work. We don't look like we did then. Maybe I saw your picture the other day and said, who was that? A guy walked up to me the other day out in Farmington, New Mexico. He said, I heard you preach 25 years ago. He said, the only thing I recognize is the voice. Well, I busted his teeth out, I'll tell you. Right. But thank you. God bless you. I love you and praise God for you. Now, you've got your shadows. And many of you, they're here right now. I want to encourage you that they will pass away and not here to stay. But until they do pass away, don't spend your time down in the valley, digging yourself deeper in the valley. Just get up there on the mountaintop by yourself. You say, by yourself? Well, no. With him who lives there. The Mountain of Myrrh and the Hill of Frankincense. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the availability of the aroma of the mountaintop. Thank you for the crisp, cool air that's up there. Thank you that the valley seems so far away from the mountain. And thank you for the myrrh whose refreshing aroma has blown our way with the refreshing breezes of the mountaintop. And thank you for that little walk through the hill. On either side of that little walk there is frankincense growing. Little garden up there, a garden of frankincense, a garden of myrrh, where Jesus meets us until the shadows flee away. Our heads are bowed.